you're saying, if the community desires later to add fluoridation, right?
Senator Milton, through the chair, that's correct. The idea in this resolution is that we would, as we engineer systems, village safe water systems, we would incorporate the design, so if later the community decides to fluoridate, it can have that fluoridation easily done.
So I'm the only one that seems to be confused by this language then, on what the predicate is?
Through the chair, you're the first that's brought it up to me.
And if I can think out loud a little bit more, Mr. Chair, I wonder if language that would end my confusion anyway might not simply be further resolved that all new water systems incorporate engineering designed to allow easy later incorporation of fluoridation if the community, if the community, I don't know. Let me think more about it, Mr. Chair. And I may be the one that's wrapped around the axle on this.
Senator Green.
Yeah, interesting, Mr. Chairman. I have the same thing outlined,
but
for another reason. Because the communities don't design nor do they pay for any of these systems. And they don't necessarily get to say what they want in their system. So I'm not sure that that's the community's choice. I mean, I don't know it is, if it is or not, but I'm not sure they get to dictate what's going to be incorporated into the system.
Senator Green, to the chair, like I say, we have one of the village safe water people online that could tell you about those. Specifically, the intent of this is that the state of Alaska, when we go through the design criteria and we design water systems, is that we will incorporate in those the connections. But the choice to make fluoridation in that community is up to the community. And we are not taking away that the right for them to either fluoridate or not fluoridate. We are just saying that all of the systems we design are going to incorporate it, so we don't have to re-engineer a system if a community decides later that they want to fluoridate and get the medical benefits of fluoridation, that we don't have to go back through and re-engineer a system. Because that has been a problem in the past. There's not physically, there's about a 30-gallon barrel that of the chemical, and if you don't leave that in the physically, if you don't design the facility so that you can later come along and, you know, it's basically a wall-mounted pump and a chemical dispensing unit. If you don't design that and put the taps in at the time with the valves on it, then you have to come back in. And you know how these things are. Once you go back in and redesign the facility, it's like paving a road and then coming along later and tearing the road up to put in water or sewer access. If you design that in and put it in at the beginning, it's there and ready to be used if the community decides. But I'm not opposed, Mr. Chairman, if the committee wishes to clarify the intent of the language, because that is the intent, that the community would decide later if they want to fluoridate or not.
I have
Senator Green to continue.
If this has the impact of requiring DEC to do something, is a resolution the proper vehicle, or should it not be in statute? Do they have the same impact?
Senator Green, through the chair, you're very correct. If we wanted to mandate that DEC had to do this, we would have a bill. My intention, and I think the thought of most people, is that if the legislature indicates that it wants DEC to design those into the water systems, that we have had no indication from DEC that they were going to say, no, we're not going to require that, just as in the RFP for design, that they would just include that as one of the criteria that they have in the design criteria.
Mr. Chairman, I think that goes beyond a resolve. And I just kind of wonder if it's a resolution, because if it has the capability of requiring that someone do that, that's not just a resolve, that's not a suggestion at that point. And so, because if the community desires and asks for it, then DEC will be liable or responsible for making it available.
Senator Green, through the chair, I think if we get Village Safe Water on, they'll be able to tell you whether that's normally included in all of the designs anyway. I think that our intention here is to let DEC know that we would appreciate it if they would design the taps into all future facilities so that would be an option that communities could select at a future time without great cost.
And I still say that's not a resolution. Thank you.
Yeah. A resolution is one way for the legislature to declare its intention. In my experience, and there are three other people here at the table with more experience, the ability of the administration to ignore almost all that the legislature does in resolution or statute is almost complete. But I don't see it does any harm to make this statement. And if indeed DEC is in agreement, it'll probably happen until a different administration views it differently. If you're open to amending it, I would amend it to say, line 17, that all new public water systems incorporate engineering designed to facilitate incorporation of fluoridation if the community so desires at a latter time. I won't speak for the committee, but you've got then a decision if that language or some other makes it clearer whether or not you'd have, when it comes back to the House, you'd have to say, ask for confirmation or agreement that agree to the modifications that were made over here.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't have any problems with that at all. No, I think the intent is exactly what we're stating, and so if it comes back to the House, I don't have any problems suggesting concurrence, because that's my intent and the intent of the House when we pass this, because we discussed that it was going to be a local community decision whether to fluoridate or not. And I'm sorry if the wording has been confusing, that it sounds like we're saying that if the community desires the engineering, because that's not the intent.
Yeah. Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chair, I just say that I think I'm comfortable with your language. I'm wondering if there is a substantive change with the addition of all new public water systems. I mean, I'm assuming that's not a substantive change, and that's what you meant anyway, is the public water systems.
That's correct. Senator Elton, through the chair, the intent here is the ones that we fund, and so we're funding public water systems and Village Safe Water System.
Yes, but I think that there are public water systems that may not have a state component in the funding. And I think you really meant to imply the ones that are under the jurisdiction of the state inspectors, regardless of whether there's state money involved. Did you not?
Thank you.
Senator Green.
I just don't see how you can, by resolution, if you're saying that it's now includes, in your description, includes a private builder.
No, I'm making sure that it doesn't include a private builder. Okay. I think.
Okay. I misunderstood you.
I just wanted to make it clear, because your language just said all new systems, and I didn't want all of us with our own wells and so on and so forth to all of a sudden we have to be dealing with this.
And Senator Dyson, I appreciate the clarification, because that is exactly what we've been talking about.
All right.
Would you read your amendment language again, please, Mr. Chairman?
Further resolved that all new public water systems incorporate engineering designs facilitate incorporation of fluoridation if the community so desires at a later time. All right, I'll move a conceptual amendment, line 17, to be rewritten to state, further resolved that all new public water systems incorporate engineering designed to facilitate incorporation of fluoridation if the community so desires at a later time. It's a little awkward, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right, I'll change it. That all new public water systems incorporate engineering designed to facilitate incorporation of fluoridation at a later time if the community so desires it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
ma'am. At such time? No, that wouldn't work. Never mind.
Mr. Chair, I like your second approach, but I'm comfortable if the instruction to the drafter is, or language to accomplish what your language.
Yeah. All right. Is there any objection? All right. We will leave that to the discretion of the drafter, who undoubtedly can do better than either of us. Who was it you had online from D.C.?
We have online Tony Ritter, and he's with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, which works with the Florida water systems and with Philly Safe Water.
Yeah. Can you hear us, Tony?
Yes, this is Troy Ritter. I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you, Tori. I think that this bill will pass out of this committee at this time. Are the things that you want to tell us, or things that you know that we need to know?
Well, maybe for a little bit of clarification, just a quick point. You know, I sit on the Indian Health Service Sanitation Deficiency System. This system provides about $20 million per year for the building water and sewer infrastructure in Alaska. And the state of Alaska's Village Safe Water Program, this is kind of a partner funding organization. We work together to build pretty much all Alaskan water and sewer infrastructure. And just from a practical standpoint, to let you know, we're already doing this as far as incorporation of the ability to fluoridate at a later time. It's already supposed to work that way. There have been a couple of times when it's been done, not been done through more of an oversight or through a personal opinion of an engineer. But it is something that we do, and wouldn't be so much of a substantive change.
Other questions?
Yeah.
Senator Green.
Yeah, he's not with DEC, though. Is that correct?
Senator Green, that's correct. He's with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium that works with DEC in designing the water systems.
Is anyone from DEC online?
Representative Seaton, do you have anybody from DEC
not
to talk to us?
Not online at this time.
Would you like to wait to hear from them, Senator Green? All right. Any further questions or discussion? Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
Senator Elk. Well, I'm always hesitant. I always think, you know, perhaps somebody else might want to do this. Mr. Chair, I'd move that the committee pass HCR 5 as amended and with the attached zero fiscal note.
Is there objection? Seeing none, bill moved. The resolution moves. Thank you.
Thank you, President, committee.
We'll now take up House Joint Resolution 31. Representative Wyrock.
Yes. For the record, my name is Jacqueline Chapeau, and you'll have to excuse me, I'm coughing. I'm battling the flu here today. Before you have House Joint Resolution 31, what it does is it designates September 9th as Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders Awareness Day. Sort of a big mouthful, but it's the single largest cause of mental retardation in the state of Alaska. But the sad fact about fetal alcohol spectrum disorders is that they're 100% preventable. If women would not drink during pregnancy, then FASDs would be completely eradicated from our state. We currently have the highest rates of FASDs in the United States, which has been immensely problematic. And so the way this Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders Awareness Day came about, there was a group of parents that came together on the internet, and they said, you know, what if we all got together, the whole world, and we said on the ninth month, on the ninth day, in the ninth hour, to remember that pregnant women should not drink throughout the 9 months of pregnancy, to get that awareness out there, because no amount of alcohol is safe for a woman to consume during pregnancy. And, you know, the simple fact is more American children are born with FASDs than HIV, muscular dystrophy, and Down syndrome combined. So it's a problem of epic proportions, particularly here in our great state of Alaska. There's economic and social costs that are just exorbitant that the state is currently paying. We think that this is one of the steps that we can do to increase awareness. There was recently a survey done in 2005 of all different types of social providers and doctors, and a little more than 50% of OBGYNs thought it might be okay to drink a little bit in one of your trimesters when you're pregnant. So we really need to get the information out there. Do not drink, so that fetal alcohol spectrum disorders can be eradicated. And so we offer this to you as the first step in just increasing the awareness here in Alaska. Thank you.
Senator Alton.
Thanks. Thanks for the testimony, and I completely support the bill. I'm wondering if you and your boss might be open to a suggestion, and that is on the last page, lines 5 through 7, you delineate who should get a copy of the resolution. And it seems to me that if it's going to be, I mean, again, I fully support the resolution, but I'd like to see awareness raised not just in Washington, D.C., but around the state of Alaska. So I wonder if you wouldn't be amenable to making sure that copies of the resolution should go to Hess and maybe to the mayors of organized communities in the state of Alaska.
Through the chair, we wouldn't have any problem with such an amendment.
I mean, I don't know, Mr. Chair, if there are others that should get it, but for now, I'd just ask that we amend on page 3, line 7 after Congress, to the State Department of Health, to the Hess Committee, to the Department of the Hess Department, and to mayors of organized Alaska communities.
And I would suggest respectfully school boards.
School boards would be great.
And
school boards or superintendents. Yeah, school boards.
Is that a conceptual amendment?
That conceptual amendment with your friendly amendment.
Any objection? I was going to ask you why the particular date, and I thought your answer was good. And the only thing I object to in what you said is this is a first step. It is not. There's lots of steps been taken in the past. I think even before I got here, I think Senator Pierce got the labeling through signs and bars, and during the previous administration, the Commissioner of Health, Education, Social Services started a work that has taken Alaska from being dead last to one at least that is addressing this problem and has diagnostic teams available and FAS support groups available that, sadly to say, are amongst the best in the nation and still far short of what needs to be done. I'm sorry, I'm preaching to the choir, aren't I?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, I would say it was a first step for our office. We also have a fetal alcohol spectrum disorders bill that will be coming through. So I guess that was a reference to plug our later legislation, which will be coming to this committee also.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate Bruce's taking this up. Any further discussion? The chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move to report HCR 31 from committee with individual recommendations.
Are there any objections?
As amended.
As amended.
It moves. All right. For the benefit of the committee, on Wednesday, the Health Department, Fishing Game, and who else, Jason?
DEC.
And DEC have requested an opportunity to update us on what they're doing, particularly about the exposure we have in the state to migratory birds bringing avian flu to us. And so that's what it'll be about. And I would encourage you to think about who else ought to be here, or who else ought to hear about it, and help me or us get that message out to those folks. And I would also ask any and all of you, if there are bills in the queue in this committee that you feel are particularly important to get done, to let us know. Because of my responsibilities, resources, and finance, have been curtailing some of my activities in this committee, but we are not behind in this committee, in my view. Senator Wilken.
Thank you. Do we have a couple minutes to talk about PCAs? Is
sure.
That all right? Back on March 2nd, remember we got this report on PCAs, and I asked the department some pointed questions. And on March 21st, I received a letter, I think we all did, to you, Mr. Chair, and to myself and the rest, about to answer some questions. And I'm sure you all saw it and read it thoroughly. But I wanted to say a couple things today, if I could, about it. First, I thank Ms. Clark for putting the information together. I'm not sure I'm much more comfortable with the answers than I was when I asked the question. I don't know quite where to start, but let me start with this graph. So you can see here, the dark blue line is the historical. If we kept doing what we've been doing, we'd keep getting what we got. So that's what this is. And then these are changes in regulations. And you can see that, you can see how we started to come up here in 2002, and we're on this climb, and this is where we've got notified of this incline a couple of years ago, and now started to make some changes, and you can see how it does sort of flatten it out, which of course I think we're glad to see that we're flattening it out. And it's difficult to try not to be mean here, but with this data, and when you go back to your offices, you want to be interested, and I guess where I'm headed here is I'm not sure that we're done with this year. We may want to have the department to come back and talk a little bit about this and a few things. There was a chart or a table of information, and there's 26 states, 24 states in our nation that don't give any sort of PCA services, so the rest do, and those are listed here.
Excuse me, Senator Wilken. For the record, Senator Wilken joined us about 20 to the hour. And PCA is personal care attendance, for
yes.
Those that are watching.
Yes, thank you. It's interesting to look, just to give you a flavor of why I'm concerned. If you look at expenditures, now this is from 1999 to 2000, and our growth started in about 2000. Remember the chart before? That's when we started to climb. So this data is dated in the fact that it only goes through 2002. So 3, 4, 5, 6 aren't part of the data set, which these reference, but let me just share with you some. First, total expenditures. The United States, across these 26 states that offer PCA, went from, just in rough numbers, I'm just give you a few of these just to get a sense and then compare us to the rest of the United States. $5.5 billion in 2002, and in 1999, $4 billion. So 4 to 5.5. California went from $1.8 billion from $1.2 billion. If we look at the western states that we always compare ourselves with, Idaho went from $17 million to $15 million. Montana from $17 million to $24 million. North Dakota started a program. Oregon, $862,000 to $390,000. Washington, closest state, $53 million to $83 million. State of Alaska in that same time went from $4.7 million to $38 million, a multiple of almost 10. The rest of those are multiples of 1 point something. So before we even start the ramp, we have increased our expenditures from 1999 by a multiple of 10, and certainly well beyond the national average, if nothing else. Then you look over at average expenditure per recipient. And again, looking at the western states, Idaho went from 8,000 per recipient to 6,000. Montana from 6,300 to 7,900. Oregon, $752, 195. Washington, again, 6,900 to 7,500. Flavor. Alaska went from 4,000 to 13,900. So a multiple there of, I figured it out here somewhere, four. So, you know, you look at that, and this is even before it kicks in with the changes that were given to us by the prior administration. So I think we need to come back and see if we can't get a sense of what 03, 04, 05 looks like, and when you add it to this data, and in here it references that this was the only data available at the time. Perhaps there's more. You'd think there certainly should be. But what we're suggesting here is that the $110 million that we're spending is okay to spend it. We're just saying, well, we've got us to where we are. Everything's fine. I frankly thought that the chart was going to over time dip down. And that's not the case at all. It continues to grow, not at the rate it was growing, but certainly at an increasing rate. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd leave it up to you and the rest of the committee if they want to talk some more about this with the department. But there's very little explanation as to how we got to where we are, and there's very little explanation on how we plan to rein in these costs. And if it's going to be difficult to do it, we ought to at least be honest with ourselves and get a sense of what the landscape looks like so that we can plan accordingly, or those that will follow us will plan accordingly. But I thank them again for the information, but I remain troubled, and I'll leave it up to the committee as to whether we want to talk about that this year or talk about it at some other time. And with that, thank you for the time.
I know in talking and discussing this year's HESS budget, you know, this conversation came up because we were joining you in being very concerned about it. And one of the things that there have been attempts to reconstruct regulations to bring about additional changes, and the greatest pushback comes from legislators who don't want to see the changes. They get, you know, comments from constituents and all. So we have a problem among us as well, those of us who don't understand or who don't want to understand that there is a huge problem looming if we don't back the folks who are trying to, by regulation, which they have the authority to do, by regulation, alter and change the system. And so it's very, very difficult. And I'm not their defender, but that is the part of the problem.
As I remember, didn't we have a presentation here about the new regulations?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, as I remember, and I've sat on the HESS committee for 10 years now, ever since I got here, and as I remember the previous administration, the genius of this concept is someone who is marginally able to care for themselves, maybe headed for institutional care. So what you do with this PCA as a subsidy is free some of their family members or something who might have another job or need a little bit of help, you know, so it would just to facilitate those people who were already doing it,
mm-hmm.
or who could,
sure.
but had financial constraints, enable them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me what happened is it was everybody went to either looking for a job or looking to get money for relatives and friends and neighbors who were already doing it and didn't need the money. So as I understood what the department said to us here just a couple of months ago, is now they were going to almost license them. You know, they had to be recognized by one of the PCA body shops, a vendor who would supply these people and would do some sort on it. And that was the first attempt at it. But my sense is the same as yours, Senator Wilkin, it doesn't get back to the original idea of only helping those who needed the bit of financial help to be able to do what they were already wanting to do. So I'm sure willing for us to have this conversation, and I suspect that the presentation on Wednesday won't take the full two hours. Is that correct?
That's right.
So we could ask for the department to come and have a further discussion then. Is that too soon, Senator Wilken?
No. No, I don't have a lot of preparation for it. I guess it just concerns me when you look at the United States and the other 25 states, it just concerns me that our growth, without even recognizing the last 3 years of actual, is extraordinary. The data that I gave you only gets us to there. Yeah. This hasn't even kicked in yet, and we're up here, and these are the regulations, and that Jason gave me, and that's what starts on Saturday, is in effect on Saturday. But those kick in, and the line starts to flatten out, but it doesn't get us back down, and I'm not sure if we want to go back down. As Senator Green said, we get a lot of pushback from folks that have constituents because we now have an $85 million program that we're having trouble reining in, and I understand that. But have we made ourselves in Alaska the mecca of PCA? And are we prepared to fund that mecca? And or what are they doing in other states, at least 25 other states, to keep their citizens happy, but to constrain and contain the growth of this program? I guess that's my question for Wednesday.
You know, I don't have a problem with Wednesday. I mean, I think it, as you invite people to come and talk, I mean, I think it's perfectly appropriate. I mean, I hate to say this, but I didn't know this was in my office, and I'll take a look at it when I get back down. But it needs to be discussed. It would be, I think, appropriate to ask. I mean, the one question I don't know how to answer is, if we're investing the money here, are we saving money because we aren't institutionalizing people? I mean, I think that could be part of the invitation, too. Just tell us, you know, if we don't spend the money this way, are we going to be spending it another way? Would be helpful for me.
All right, and I'm going to try to make contact with the senior center in my community, which ends up being a really rallying point for all of the seniors, and where they have lots of volunteer things and meals and all kinds of things, and get some input from those folks as well. Anything else?
Oh, thank you.
I will let you know if we can't do that on Wednesday. Otherwise, we'll plan on it. What else do we have on this week? That's it. All right. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We're here. Yeah, that's fine.